From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Linda Wertheimer. A new world of genetic medicine has been opening up in recent years. Genetic tests can provide people with a glimpse of their medical future. Over the past few months, NPR science correspondent Joe Palca has brought us the stories of several people who've confronted this new world. We met Lauren Dubin, who'd recently been diagnosed with breast cancer after learning that she did indeed carry a gene for breast cancer. Then there were Terry and Katie Richardson, expecting their third child and thinking about cystic fibrosis. And most recently, Nancy Wexler, a scientist who studies a debilitating genetic disease that happens to run in her own family. Joe joins us now in the studio to talk more about the dilemmas posed by genetic testing. Joe, each of the people you talk to faced the same question, whether or not to take a genetic test. Most of them decided not to take the test. Why?
Well, there's different reasons, but one of the problems that this new world of genetic testing has created, in a way, is that there's information available, but sometimes there's nothing you can do about it. So in the case of Nancy Wexler, whose family has this debilitating neurological disease, Huntington's disease, the one that Woody Guthrie is famous for having had, she decided that she didn't want to take the test because if she was facing the disease, there was nothing she could do, no steps she could take.
It's untreatable, unpreventable.
Well, basically, yes. It's a pretty much inexorable downward course once you start getting it. In the case of Katie and Terry Richardson, Katie Richardson has cystic fibrosis. Terry Richardson didn't want to find out whether he was a carrier, because if he was, there was a much greater risk that their children would get the disease.
I was struck by the husband in that family saying that had somebody else made those kinds of decisions, he would never have met his wife married her.
That's it.
Because she would not have been born.
That's right. That's the what-ifs that people raise. Some people see that as playing God. Those were the words he used. Some people say, well, wait a minute, if you never existed, you never existed. So, now, in the case of Lauren Dubin, there was something she could do. She was tested for breast cancer gene, or the gene that confers an increased risk of breast cancer, as they like to say. And so she feels that they caught her cancer early because she was being very aggressive about going for regular checkups. And there are things that people can do. They can get mammograms, and that does decrease the risk of breast cancer. So in the case of the breast cancer gene, it's a different situation. There is something you can do, and of course that's the upside of genetic testing.
How many genetic tests are there?
Well, right now there's about 700, just a little more than 700 genetic tests that are considered useful for clinical application, and there's another 300 or so that are available in what's called research stage, where they're trying to figure out, does this test accurately predict whether there's a genetic disease lying ahead?
And how do they make a decision that a particular test is ready for the public?
Well, that's a really interesting issue. You know, you would think that the Food and Drug Administration or some other regulatory body would decide. But in fact, in the world of genetic testing, it basically is up to a lab director, a clinical lab director, to say, I think we're ready. And that's a little unusual, but it just so happens that because these tests are not involving a test kit, it's not like, you know, a home pregnancy kit or an AIDS test kit, there's nobody saying yes or no. And so it's up to the lab director.
Who makes sure that tests are administered properly, that they work?
Well,
then?
After the lab director makes this decision, I mean, they can pretty much go out onto the internet and say, here I am, or anywhere they want to advertise, but there is a law called the Clinical Laboratory Improvement Amendments, or CLIA. And CLIA is a government-run project, or I guess it's the name is, they're now calling CLIA Labs. They are certified to meet some minimum standard of, you know, can they track a sample accurately once it comes in? Are they sure it's labeled properly? I mean, it's very minimal things, but it's certainly essential things. Do the people in the laboratory have adequate training for the equipment they're using? Does the head of the lab have a doctoral degree and know the research? But really, that's it. They don't say, does this test work? They say, is it being done the way you're supposed to be doing it? And that leaves people in a very funny position, you know, because this is so new, and it's changing so fast. I talked to a lab director today who said, you know, if we went ahead and applied for FDA approval, that would take so long if we actually, you know, codified this whole thing, that the science would have surpassed us by the time we got our test approved, and it wouldn't be worth it. So it's an interesting gray world that we're going into.
What about insurance companies? If you want to have one of those tests, is an insurance company likely to agree to pay for it?
Varies all over the map. Companies sometimes feel that there is an advantage to knowing that there's genetic information. Certainly, if you have family history of it, it can make sense to, if there's a test available for a particular disease, it could make economic sense to be tested and then, you know, live a different kind of lifestyle, start taking preventive drugs, maybe modifying diet, things you can do. So some companies, yes, some companies, no.
I would think that it'd be sort of a risk. I mean, your insurance company would then know that you were about to get expensively sick. I mean, can genetic tests be used against you? Could you conceivably be fired from a job, lose your insurance, whatever?
There are distinctions. And if you're in a group plan, which most of us who are lucky enough to be employed by a company that has a group policy, then you can't, and you're pretty much protected. In an individual basis, if you've just John Q. Public going in to get a insurance, it is conceivable that the insurance company can decide to give you a battery of tests before they decide to insure you and say, we're not gonna take you.
Joe, you've given us a lot of uncomfortable things to think about.
I'm sorry. Just one of those things you have to do.
Thanks very much.
You're most welcome.
NPR's Joe Palca. To hear other reports on genetic testing, go to our website at npr.org.